Thank you. We've been looking at the subject of sanctification. And we saw that when we come across the words Kodash and Hagiatso, we must consider that when they are dealing with sanctification in the Scriptures, that the record is speaking of someone or something that is set apart from the common for a special purpose. The word Kodash is the Hebrew word which is most often translated to sanctify in the Old Testament. Its corresponding Greek word is Hagiatso, and this word is most often translated sanctify in the New Testament. We looked how we bridged the Old Testament to the New Testament, so we're safe with tracking the word last time we were together. We also saw that when we come across the corresponding adjectives, Kodash and Hagios, which both words, Kodash, Q-A-D-O-S-H, which is the adjective form of Kodash, it's rendered most times holy in the Old Testament scriptures. And the corresponding adjective to the Greek word Hagiatso, the Greek word Hagios, it's most times rendered holy in the New Testament. And we saw that when we come across these words that we must consider with regards to sanctification, that the record is describing someone or something that is set apart from the common for a special purpose. Set apart for a special purpose. There's a big difference between the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and being legally identified with Him in all the fullness that God gives you in the new birth, and being described as holy in your practical Christian walk. That's a description of how your walk is. He has a holy walk. One is a gift given to you solely on the merits of your substitute, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's your sonship, that's your sanctification. It's given to you. However, you devoting your walk to the reverence of God, who has already devoted you to inherit His kingdom, is your daily choice. It's not a question with regards to what a person has in Christ. It's a question with regards of how a person is now going to walk in response to God's love and goodness to them. What are you going to do with the gift that He gave you? What are you going to do with the life that He gave you? What are you going to do with His grace? One pertains to what a person already has in Christ, your sonship. The other pertains to what a person ought to do for God in his or her walk. God has not only sanctified us in Christ, but God also desires that we should walk as children who are separated out from the common lot of unbelieving man. I mean, what's the purpose? What's the point? If you got a bunch of believers and you got the regular mankind, if you can't distinguish a believer from mankind, there's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. Yeah. The common lot of mankind, you have different people, races, genders that make up mankind. You have friendly people that are the common lot of mankind, right? I drew that. All right. You have just others. I was going to make an Italian, but I didn't know how to project it, so this is a not so friendly person. It's not a rabbit. I want to put whiskers on it with little horns. But these are all common people that make up the world, you know, just different people. This one here, who can guess what that one is? Yeah, it's a girl, right? And what nationality is this one? an Indian. All right. These are all the common lot of mankind. And although they look different on the outside, okay, they all belong to the common lot of mankind. Now, what I have in my hand here is another one that's from the common lot of mankind. But you know what? There's something different with this one, because this one has something inside of it. And you're going to come to see that what's inside of this is what separates this out from the common lot of mankind. This gets separated right back to Carmen, please. We're going to now set from the great accuracy of God's word two aspects of sanctification. One relates to our sonship, and as we will see, the other relates to our walk. If you take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians 1. The fact that you recognize this shows you have a sick mind, Jimmy. Because only a sick person would think of something like that. So you come to me for prayer afterwards. I admit I'm sick. I told you, follow Jesus, not me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The epistle of Corinthians was written to the local church at Corinth. The local church at Corinth was part of the whole church of God, which was cleansed and sanctified by Jesus Christ. Those who were part of this church in Corinth were said to be sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be what? Saints. The Greek word render saints here is the word hagios. And as you see, hagios is the adjective of the word hagiazo. Hagios in other places is rendered holy. Hagios describes something as divided, marked off, or separate from that which is common. The verb hagiazo is also used in the verse. It's rendered sanctified. And here it's used to describe the people as in Corinth as divided, marked off, separate, or separated from that which is common. Something happened at Corinth. Something happened with these people that separated them from this common lot of mankind. There was something going on there. Now the question we must ask is, how were they separated in Christ Jesus? And let's go to the Word of God and see if we can begin to track this through. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 6. And this is very interesting because we hear a lot of times different phrases and different cliches used throughout the years, and we don't take the time to actually track it back to find the origin of these phrases and cliches. Some of them are good biblical grounding, and some of them come from men's minds. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, we read, it says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? The words Holy Ghost here could also be rendered Holy Spirit, and should be. The Holy Spirit is referred to here, and it is said to be in the Corinthians. We also learned that it was given to them by God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. The Holy Spirit, which is what? It's in them. It's in them. Here we see the location of the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit was inside of them. It was in them. And we also see the giver of the Holy Spirit. The giver of the Holy Spirit was God. Look at Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, in verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "which is" what? "Given unto us." It's given unto us. Here we learn that the Holy Spirit was given unto us by God. It's given unto us. It's not earned. It's given unto us. Therefore, it's a gift. It's God's gift to us. God is the giver, and that which He gives is His gift, and His gift is holy, and His gift is spirit. Thus, you have the understanding in the beginning of the working of the giver and the gift. The giver and the gift. The giver is God, and the gift in this particular instance is that which He gives. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. This gift of Holy Spirit was also in the people of Corinth, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you?" That gift was in those individuals, those saints, those believers in Corinth. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter referred to the same gift of Holy Spirit which God gave. Look at Acts chapter 2. And we're considering the question, what sanctified these people? What set these people apart? What marked these people off from the common lot of mankind? What was it that separated them from every other person on earth? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You shall receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. Here Peter referred to the gift that God gave on the day of Pentecost. He speaks again of the same gift later on in the book of Acts in chapter 15. Let's go there. But this gift was given to the individual who was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, believing on Jesus Christ, cleansed in Jesus Christ. Acts 15, verse 6 says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." See, up until a certain point in the history of God's word, God chose Israel. God's word was given to a certain group. Now you could proselyte in and convert over. But for the first time ever, when the gift of Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, God made it available for all men of all nations to come to Him through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and believing on the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on behalf of man, to believe and receive this same gift. This is what Peter's talking about. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. "And God, which knoweth the hearts, beareth them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did unto us," even as He did unto the Judeans, those by religion. "And He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Peter said that God gave this Holy Spirit both to the Judeans and to the Gentiles. This gift of Holy Spirit has been made available to all now. It's not a pick and choose. It's available to all who believe. Those who had the gift of Holy Spirit had received it by faith, by believing God. God has placed no difference between them and us. He has given the same Holy Spirit to everyone. The only qualification is that they would believe. They would believe and thus receive it. The Greek word rendered holy in the phrase Holy Spirit is the word hagios, which we have seen. The word hagios is used to describe something as separate from that which is common. Separate from that which is common. The Spirit spoken of here is described as holy, and it is a separate spirit. It's a separate spirit set apart from the common lot of spirits. Look at Romans 15. It's a distinct spirit, a separate spirit. It's not part of the common lot of spirits. Romans 15:15 says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that was given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost," by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 speaks of those who are sanctified or separated from that which is common. And that which separates them, that which sanctifies those individuals, is the Holy Spirit. That's what sets them apart. That's what sanctifies them from everyone else. Here we see that is the gift of Holy Spirit which sanctifies people, and it separates them from the common lot of people. What was it that gave Adam dominion over all of God's creation? What was it that separated Adam and Eve from the common lot of every living creature? It was the Spirit that God gave them, right? That separated them out, that put them on a different plane, that put them on a higher level, that gave them access to God. The gift of Holy Spirit was the distinct entity that marked people out from all other people in the world. On the outside, they may look. On the outside, they may talk. But God wasn't concerned with what was on the outside. What marked people out, what separated people out, was what was on the what? The inside. And that was a gift, and that was a gift that was given to the individual by God on their belief in His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 26. You see, this gift that separates, this gift that marks you out, is given to you solely on the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. You have nothing to do with it. All you have to do is believe the word with regards to that area of Scripture, of what Jesus Christ did, and receive it. It has been done for you. And the reason why it's been done for you is because we couldn't do it for ourselves. God had to intervene into mankind by His grace and mercy, and Jesus Christ gave His life for all those who believe and gave His life for all those that don't believe. Acts 26, verse 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Now, you know, I've been confronted throughout my life. You've been confronted throughout your life. And it doesn't feel good when you're confronted, when you're off the ball, but how would you like to have Jesus tell you, "I am Jesus who thou persecutest"? That's reproof, right? I mean, his heart had to sink. And what did that guy do? He was like killing people and whipping people and murdering and beating. But look at the heart. He was just misguided. He was zealous. He was doing things for God. He was just misguided. Down deep inside, he had a good heart. He just didn't know. And he just had to figure it out. And what made him figure it out, what got him to figure it out, was Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet," verse 16, "for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Reason being, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in where? In me. Verse 18 speaks of those who are sanctified or separated out from all the other people of the world, from the common lot of mankind, by the faith that is in only one man, and only one it is. It's who? Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The faith that is in Jesus Christ. God's word teaches us about the accomplished works of His Son, that His Son Jesus Christ carried out for others. Okay? The Bible teaches us that in different segments of the word. When people learn about Jesus Christ, when they sit in the church, when they sit in a fellowship, when they sit and they hear a preacher or someone talk about Jesus Christ, they can make a decision. They can decide whether they want to believe on Jesus Christ or whether they want to sit there and think about birds all day. They can make a decision, right? When they decide to believe in Jesus Christ and they get born again, they get saved, they get redeemed, whatever word you want to term it, they receive the gift of Holy Spirit, which in turn, that gift that they receive is now inside of them, and it is that gift that sanctifies them. It separates them out from every other person on the face of the earth, from all the other common mankind. Look at Hebrews 13. Again, you see, this is all done for you. It's done in behalf of you, what Jesus Christ accomplished. We didn't do anything to earn this. This is the first part of sanctification. The first part of sanctification is what God has done for you in Christ. The second part, as you're going to see, is now what are you going to do for God? Because in response of what He's done for you. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. This verse adds more understanding to sanctification. We see how people are sanctified in Christ Jesus. It is the blood, of Jesus Christ that sanctified the people. The blood was offered as a sacrifice, similar to the manner in which the blood of animals was offered under the law of Moses to sanctify people and things, if you read the context of Hebrews. See, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed the blood of animals, but that was only a foreshadowing of that which was to come, the true Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ, our Passover. And when Moses would sacrifice that blood of that animal, he would then be able to cleanse the people and cleanse the utensils in the worship and service of the tabernacle. It was the blood that was shed that sanctified, that set apart those people and set apart those utensils for a special purpose of the tabernacle service. Today, people are sanctified or set apart from the common lot of mankind when they believe in Jesus Christ, who offered His blood on their behalf. When they do, they receive the gift of Holy Spirit, and that gift of Holy Spirit marks them off from all other people. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. It's the gift of Holy Spirit that marks them off. And the gift of Holy Spirit, once it's given forever. You can never lose it. So you can never lose your sanctification. You can never lose your inheritance. You can never lose that which God has destined you to inherit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He offered His body by shedding His blood on behalf of others, and thereby those who believe in Him are set apart from the common lot of mankind. People are sanctified from the common lot of mankind through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. He offered his body by shedding his blood on behalf of others. When they believe and receive the gift of Holy Spirit, they're sealed. When we started, we went to 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians who were sanctified in Christ Jesus and who were called to be saints, holy or sanctified ones, were those who were separated out from that which was common. And the way they received that is that they believed the truth of God's word regarding Jesus Christ's accomplishments for them, thus receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. The word that is rendered saint in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, is not used in the scriptures. The word that's rendered saint, it's actually hagios. The Greek word hagios, rendered holy in other segments of God's word, is rendered saints in 1 Corinthians. And the word hagios, or the word that's rendered saint, is not used in the scriptures regarding someone or some group who has obtained a certain level of religious or moral growth and development, as some have suggested. Instead, we have seen that it is used of someone who is separated in Christ from the common lot of mankind. It is used of someone who is separated in Christ from the common lot of body and soul man. Body and soul man. The one who is separated gets another component. That is what? Spirit. Making them a what? Threefold being, body, soul, and spirit, making them now complete. When they believe God's word concerning Jesus Christ, they receive the gift of what? It's that simple. It's that simple. Ephesians chapter 1, please, as we close this morning. Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of whose salvation? See, it's the gospel of your salvation. Or it could be the gospel of your destruction. It depends on whether you want to believe or not. In whom that after you what? Believed. It's that simple. You hear the word of God, now you have a choice whether you want to believe the word of God. Remember, it says in Hebrews that there was a certain group sitting there and they heard the word of God and they believed the word of God and it profited them. In the same room on the left-hand side, a certain group of people heard the word of God, but it didn't profit them because they didn't what? They didn't believe it. Oh, that's just Nick speaking, or oh, that's just the Bible, or oh, that's old fogey, or oh, that's just, you know. I got a bulletin on my desk that the Obama administration is encouraging the Supreme Court to knock down the DOMA law, the Defense of Marriage Act. In other words, he doesn't want marriage to be defined as one man and one woman anymore. He's encouraging the Supreme Court to accept the gays being married, the lesbians being married, the Cocker Spaniels being married. And he also wants to open up the entire federal government and the entire federal government's plans and, what do you call them? I don't know. Gifts? Benefits? Gifts? That's what he does. He gives gifts so he gets votes. Benefits to all the homosexuals now and to everybody that wants to get married, whether they're whatever. Now, here, let me tell you, y'all look at me, but let me tell you something you will understand. You know who pays for that? Yeah, you do. You do. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You heard the word of truth. You believed it was your salvation. See? It's your decision. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, You who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of what? Of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and had broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in an ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Say it. Through Jesus Christ, we both, the Jews and Gentiles, everybody, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, I'll tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say we have access to God through many spirits. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we have access to God through any spirit. What it says is that we have access to God through one Spirit. And that one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit that is set apart from all the realm of the other common spirits that are available out there, that man is propounding the spirit of philosophy, the spirit of good works, many demons, many devil spirits, a lot of different spirits out there. But those spirits won't get you to God. Those spirits may sound good, man's words may sound good, but those spirits won't get you to God according to what God says in the book of Ephesians. He says, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by how many spirits? One Spirit. And there's so many people trying to get to God through different spirits today. There's so many people trying to get to God through reading their horoscopes. There's so many people trying to get to God by going to a psychic advisor. There's so many people trying to get to God by going to seances and going to mediums and going to churches that offer all these prophetic spirits, etc., etc. You see, because inside man, when man is born, there's a natural desire to want to know the Almighty. There's a natural craving to want to reach out for that which is supernatural. It's instilled inside of man. And that's a good thing. The bad thing is how man goes about to reach into the spiritual. The bad thing is how man goes about to reach into the supernatural. He listens to a TV. They got a pretty girl on the TV. She says, come and join us at this seance at such and such, and we're going to give you information from your dead grandmother or from your dead grandfather. The problem with that is that the Bible says when a person's dead, they're what? They're dead. The dead know nothing. They watch TV. They see the horoscopes come up. They turn the computer on, AOL, check your horoscope for the day. Is it time for love? Is it time for happiness? Is it time for this? The whole world just throws at us spiritual information. But the Bible says there's only one Spirit that gives us access to God. And that Spirit is a Spirit which He gives. And that Spirit is holy. And that Spirit is given on the accomplishments of Jesus Christ when an individual believes. This is God's gift to man, this Spirit. This is what sets man apart from mankind. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. This gift is free, and it sets you apart to inherit eternal life in the coming kingdom of God, and it is your right as a son of God. It is your sonship right. Now, in our next segment, we're going to begin to consider a second aspect of sanctification. And that's God's call to walk sanctified. All we studied so far was the basis and the foundation and that which God did for us in Christ. And He has equipped us, He's enabled us, and He's educated us. Now what we're going to see is how are we going to respond to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our daily life. And that's where the church misses it. They love the first part of the teaching. They love who they are. They love you can't lose it. They love going to heaven, and they hold it up like a get out of jail free card when they're confronted. But that's not the entire teaching. The second part is, now what are you going to do because of what God did for you? You know, doctor used to say, how much does the gospel cost you? How much does the gospel cost you? Well, I want to tell you something. It costs Jesus Christ a lot. It costs God a lot. And when it comes to us, and you consider what we can do for God and how we should respond and what our reasonable response should be, you know, it cost us very little. Okay? So let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. Thanks that we can be those men and women that you've called us to be, and that when people look at us, they can see a difference, that we just don't blend in with mankind who you called us out from the common lot, that they can actually see us and see a noticeable difference, and that our lives can be a witness, Father, for you and for the glory of what you've done in Jesus Christ. And this is the least that we can do in return in response for all the love and all the grace and mercy that you've poured over us and covered us in the blood of Christ. We thank you, Father. We love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ and for all he's done and continues to do. And may our walk glorify you, Father, and may our lives glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.